and welcome to the Business Standard Morning Show. I'm Nazia Iqbal, and here's a look at the stories for the day. Supreme Court on 27th March said borrowers should be allowed to be heard before banks declare their accounts as fraudulent. The Reserve Bank of India, or RBI, had issued a master circular in 2016 allowing banks to classify accounts of willful defaulters as fraudulent. This circular was challenged in the Telangana High Court, which held in 2020 that borrowers would be heard before any such classification. The State Bank of India and RBI moved the Supreme Court against this order. Now the bench of Chief Justice of India, D.Y. Chandrachud, and Justice Hima Kohli has upheld the Telangana High Court's judgment. So, why did the RBI fail to convince the Apex Court in this regard? And what does the verdict mean for borrowers? Bhashwar Kumar brings you the answers.
The Supreme Court's verdict that a borrower must be heard before an account is classified as fraudulent has come as a big relief for India Inc. It also places the responsibility on the banks before they proceed on this line. On March 27th, the Apex Court upheld the Telangana High Court's December 2020 judgment, stating that the principles of audi, alteram, partem must be applied before declaring a party a fraudulent borrower or a holder of fraudulent account. Audi alteram partem is a Latin phrase that has a number of similar meanings, like hear the other side, or no man should be condemned unheard, or both sides must be heard before passing any order. A 2016 RBI master circular, which allowed banks to classify accounts of willful defaulters as fraudulent, lies at the heart of the matter. The master directions on frauds provide a regulatory framework for attempted fraud, check-related fraud, loan fraud, theft, burglary and bank robberies, among other things. The Apex Court said that the classification of an account as fraudulent had a number of consequences. The alleged crime would be reported to investigating agencies, and the concerned borrower would face penal and civil consequences. In addition, the borrower, including the promoters and directors of the concerned company, would be barred from accessing credit from financial and credit markets for 5 years and possibly even beyond. While the RBI and banks said such a restriction had to be viewed keeping public interest in mind, the Apex Court said that it could not ignore the serious civil consequences faced by concerned borrowers, even as it acknowledged that the procedure under the master directions was conceived in the public interest and to protect the banking system. A number of bankers Business Standard spoke to said that natural justice to an aggrieved borrower became a casualty because of the short interval available to banks to offer relief under the RBI's master directions on classification and reporting of frauds. The master directions also said that banks should strictly adhere to the time frame fixed for reporting cases of fraud to the RBI, failing which they would be liable for penal action. For its part, the Apex Court said that given the time frame under the master directions on frauds and the nature of the procedure adopted, lender banks could reasonably provide a hearing to concerned borrowers before classifying their accounts as fraud. Frauds in banking operations reported between April-September 2022-23 amounted to over 19,000 crore rupees, down by almost half compared to the amount reported during the same period in 2021-22. However, the total number of reported frauds increased. So, what prompted the Apex Court to give such a verdict?
There are two separate limbs when we are dealing with the master circular of RBI. One is the criminal consequences, which the Supreme Court has rightly said that no right of hearing is required. Whereas why the Supreme Court has said so, the right of hearing has to be inherently built into the circular is because of the civil harsh hard consequences, which automatically affect the right of an individual to carry on business, which is against the fundamental right which is provided under the Constitution of India. Ultimately, it is an administrative action which the Reserve Bank of India is asking the bank to take. And the jurisprudence in India is very clear that any admin action has to be preceded with a right of hearing. And that is the basic principle of natural justice.
Also, what protections did borrowers enjoy before the verdict and how will they be affected by it?
Borrower, in fact, had no opportunity to even, you know, come at any stage during the course of the investigation to question whether the investigation process, the initiation itself is correct or not. The borrower only was left with a remedy after he was informed that the account has been declared as fraudulent, that then he had to approach probably the Honorable High Court under the jurisdiction of the respective jurisdiction to actually declassify himself. Now, the protection now, according to me, has been built in by the Honorable Supreme Court by at least giving them a right of hearing.
According to previous reporting by Business Standard, after the Supreme Court's verdict, borrowers can now seek a relook at their cases. So, is the verdict retrospective in nature? And what would be the implications of that?
Supreme Court judgment says that these are to be read in the circular of RBI. The principle of natural justice are to be read, OD autem partem are to be read in the circular of the Reserve Bank of India. So wherever these issues are open, where the matter has not been finally decided by the bank, all these cases, I think bank will have to give opportunity to the borrower to submit their representation and clarification on the issue. At the same time, it will not open up all the cases where the decision has already been taken and the matter has been reported to the investigating agencies.
While borrowers may benefit from this verdict, the objections raised by banks should also be kept in mind. Echoing the RBI and SBI's note of caution, UCO Bank CEO and MD Soma Sankara Prasad said that the verdict was likely to lengthen the process of declaring a fraudulent account. However, experts also point out that the verdict could lead to banks establishing firm SOPs for the same, which could reduce the legal challenges they face in such cases.
Planning to take loans and those already in debt are facing the pinch of rising interest rates. At a time when countries across the globe are trying to rein in inflation, banks are drastically increasing the cost of borrowings. At such times, what should borrowers do? Should they wait or should they go ahead and borrow? Also, will interest rates fall in the coming months? Keep watching to find the answers in our next report by Tushar Verma.
The recent rate hike by the Reserve Bank of India, or RBI, has put the repo rate at 6.5%. In the last 1 year, the Monetary Policy Committee, or MPC, has hiked the repo rate on 6 consecutive occasions. Of course, this has been done as a measure to contain inflation, which has been troublesome for a long time. In the last 14 months, inflation has remained above RBI's upper tolerance limit for 12 months. The rising inflation and interest rates are bound to impact borrowers who have taken home loans, personal loans, or car loans, among others. Take for instance home loans. Within a year, the interest rate has increased from 6.5% to a bewildering 9 to 9.5%. For loans of rupees 75 lakh or above, the interest rates are in double digits, that is, in the range of 10 to 10.5%. So, what should people who are planning to borrow in these times do?
There is no correct timing to take a home loan. If you are in need of purchasing a property, just decide and go ahead and, you know, take a home loan. Yeah, in that, the quantum of loan should be, you know, where it's like comfortable for you to repay the EMIs, even if the interest rates are going higher or becoming higher. Now, the question comes that, you know, what is the right time to do the balance transfer in case you want to switch the loan? Now, if you think that some other lender is giving you and offering you a better rate, then don't hesitate, have a discussion. And it might reduce the interest rate, it might reduce the EMI and decrease the burden on your front.
If they are planning a shorter term loan and it's very urgent, for example, the liquidity is very, very urgent and they can't find that money anywhere else, then I don't think they will have any other option but to live with this interest rate. But if the interest rates are longer tenor interest rate, for example, in a home loans or a an education loan, I think over the years, interest rates gets leveled.
For people already in debt, many experts believe that in case of long-term loans, the impact of higher interest rates will be nullified by reduced rates in future. However, many may opt for refinancing. The options are few. Borrowers can pay higher interest and keep the tenure as same as before, or they can increase the tenure to lower the EMIs. But what is the best way to go about it? Experts say that balance transfer can work for some.
Depending on which age bracket the individual is, for instance, on home loan side, if one has is on the younger side, can always extend the tenure and hence cool off the outgoing on a monthly basis. Having said that, if somebody is already 40, 45 and then looked at committed a 20 years repayment on the home loan, may not be able to increase the tenure.
If you are comfortable in paying a higher MI, please go for it. Otherwise, you know, you will end up paying a higher interest. If you are not comfortable, then you know what you should do is that if the tenor is getting increased, that's the one way to, reduce the burden. Otherwise, again, get your loan transferred to some other lender which is offering you a better rate of interest.
The impact has been across loan categories, from car loans to retail and home loans. Few things, however, paint a rosy picture. Many reports suggested that by the end of the third quarter, personal loans and use of credit cards had increased. So far, the RBI has been continuously hiking the repo rate, which has led to higher interest rates. The future trend in loan interest rates will be consequential to RBI's decision. A key determinant in the near future is the MPC meeting in April 2023.
Amid the rising interest rates and inflation, stock market analysts are seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Domestic markets are set to end this financial year with negative returns as global central banks tightened monetary policies, squeezing liquidity from the system in order to tame inflation. As we approach FY24, analysts flag the rising interest rates and higher inflation as major headwinds for equities in the near term. However, they said that favorable macros could turn fortunes in favor of them. Here's a report.
As geopolitical tensions worsened in Europe, it triggered high inflation levels and compelled global central banks to go tough on monetary policies. So far this financial year, the US Federal Reserve has raised interest rates by 450 basis points, while the Reserve Bank of India has hiked rates by 250 basis points. As a result, the BSE Sensex and the Nifty 50 are set to end FY23 on a tepid note, delivering negative returns of up to 2%. Stepping into the next financial year, analysts foresee turmoil in global financial markets that could dampen near-term sentiment. However, they project over 3% upside for benchmark indices from the current levels.
After a volatile FY23 wherein FIs have been on the selling spree, almost 1,90,000 odd crores has been sold into the equity markets. So we believe that there is a possibility Nifty for the next for this FY24 might be a range bound one with the support closer to 16,000 and the resistance would be somewhere close to an 18,600 to 18,800. Now, for the Sensex, we believe there is a good support closer to 55,000. With that as a support, we're expecting the Sensex to hover between that 55,000 to almost 59,500. So that's the range that we're expecting Sensex to be. Now, if you look into the broader markets, we believe that usually a year where the selling has been so heavy, we do not really see the mid cap and the small cap outperform. So we expect the large caps in the banks, large caps in IT as a sector, and the Nifty 50 large cap stocks to be an outperformer for this year.
Fundamentally, analysts flag rising interest rates and inflation as major challenges for FY24.
First, inflation, especially core inflation, remains a key concern. Yet, the chances of inflation softening sharply in 2023 is high. Second, rates. Modest increase in interest rates on deposits and credit between 2022 and 2023 has stretched credit deposit ratio, which could slow down credit growth. Now, on the third front, which is the government, it is on path of fiscal consolidation. A major support from government spending is unlikely in 2023-24. Now, with this backdrop, Growth expectation has already trimmed down. Inflationary expectations are still elevated, which has caused some dent in business optimism during 2023. Yet the near-term outlook largely remains unscathed and long-term is dependent on above macros turning favorable.
From an investment perspective, analysts see sectors like auto, information technology or IT, and fast-moving consumer goods or FMCG outperforming in FY24.
Coming to the sectors, we expect outperformance from banks, capital goods, engineering, mid-cap, market performance from auto, FMCG, IT, and underperformance from rest of the pack.
Technically, charts suggest that the IT sector will recover in near term after it lingered in an oversold zone. Overall, rising interest rates, high inflation, and the recent collapse of global lenders present a near-term headwind for FY24. However, favorable macros, analysts believe, will swivel markets otherwise in the long term. That apart, markets will remain shut today on account of Ram Navami.
As the stock markets remain subdued, an alternative investment option could be municipal bonds. Of late, the interest around municipal bonds has been surging. Recently, the central government identified several cities with good ratings in this bond market. Reports have suggested that Chennai could launch its own municipal bonds in 2023 itself. So, what are municipal bonds? Raghav Agarwal decodes it for you. The center has identified over 30 cities with good ratings in the municipal bond market. While Surat and Vishakhapatnam are likely to issue these bonds soon, Chennai could become the first mega city to do so in 2023. In February, the Indore Municipal Corporation became the first Indian city to introduce a public issue of municipal bonds to raise 244 crore rupees. So, let us see what municipal bonds are. Municipal bonds are issued by civic bodies to finance urban infrastructure projects. These are similar to corporate bonds but are used by states, counties, transit authorities, school districts, and hospitals. These bonds are primarily issued to raise money for financing infrastructure projects like building parks, libraries, schools, police departments, and community centers. The bonds issued by Indore Municipal Corporation were to be used in building a solar power project. These bonds raise money from individuals as well as institutions and promise a specific interest along with return of the principal amount on maturity. Investors prefer municipal bonds as they offer a higher coupon rate compared to conventional PSU bonds. Moreover, the issue size of these bonds is smaller, making it easier for a common man to invest. Municipal bonds are also tax exempt, and the returns from these are not subject to taxes. It makes these bonds a subject of interest for high net worth individuals. Different municipalities have different methods of ensuring repayment. Tier 1 municipalities usually have surplus cash and can meet the obligation with relative case. Tier 2 municipalities keep aside a part of their internal cash receivables to meet the obligation in future. These bonds are not backed by the central government and the municipal authorities may default on repayment. However, these bonds are a much safer alternative to corporate bonds.
The nation's trusted bank, SBI, the banker to every Indian.
Well, with municipal bonds gaining popularity, civic bodies in India will have another source of raising funds. And that's all for today. For more news and analysis, please log on to business-standard.com. Thank you for watching.
For more news, views and updates, Subscribe to Business Standard on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Also, follow us on YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.